GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vegas Falchi with Jean Clark coming, Luke Glasgale, and a shock to the show with me, Tom Comack, coming to you tonight to live from the studio here at the mountaintop. Of course, we're in Glenties last weekend ahead of Niamh Connell's Ulster Championship final. With Kilcoo. Unfortunately, that didn't go particularly well. Certainly not the result that Niamh Connell had desired. Lost out in the end by 2 points, 211 to 209 against Kilcoo. And, well, we'll maybe talking about that a little bit later or two. My guest tonight in studio, John Freel, of course, chairman of the Orris Club, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary since the foundation of the club this year. And I'm also joined by another member of the founding committee of that club as well, Father Charlie Logue, of course, who is now the parish priest in Mallon, I do think, and of course Rose Kelly, the PRO of the Orris Club. But before we talk to our guests, and we're delighted to have them, and of course they brought along there's certainly the history that Rose has assembled as well, from humble beginnings to Clancy Park, 50 years of Orris GAA Club, 1969 to 2019, and we'll certainly talk about that. Quite a colourful publication as well, a nice stocking filler for Christmas. But we mentioned there that Niamh Connell's interest in the Ulster Championship ended on Sunday last in Healy Park when they went down to Kilcoo of Down. Donegal's interest still very much in Ulster this weekend on the backs of Termin Miners, who are playing in their first ever Ulster Minor Championship, Club Championship. They're playing Silverbridge from Armagh. That's in Belfast, College Grounds in Belfast. I do believe it's an all-weather facility of floodlights, obviously. 3 o'clock start for that one on Sunday. And it's a first ever venture into Ulster in the Ulster Minor Championship. It's a big occasion, big excitement out around Termin, and I've just been speaking to their club chairman, Darren Gibson.
Darren, great times for Termin, I suppose. Won a first ever Minor A championship, it's almost 2 months ago now, and breaking new ground for the first time ever in an Ulster Minor Championship this weekend when you face Silverbridge.
That's right, Tom. Fantastic time for the club, and this particular team has brought the club a lot of historic successes over the course of the last couple of years. Great team, a fantastic management, and the whole club's on behind them. And it's great to get an opportunity to play in the Ulster platform that's approaching at the weekend. It's fantastic for the boys, it's fantastic for the management, and it's fantastic for the club.
Bit of a buzz out around the Bourne Road, I believe.
Oh, there's a great buzz. Obviously, success like that generates huge interest. You get people drifting back to the club that perhaps haven't been heavily involved in a while, so it's fantastic to see a rekindling of interest and regeneration of enthusiasm, and how long may it last.
Where has this success come from? A good underage policy, a lot of work at underage?
It's fair to say that there's been a huge amount of work put in at underage over the course of the last couple of years. Obviously, for a team to achieve this type of success, it starts at a very young age. Under six, under eight, and I know that Eddie Harkin, who would have been chairman at the time, and the likes of James Cassidy, Paddy Gallagher, PG McFadden, as well as the current management of Trevor Alcorn, Dan Conaghan, Ricky Gallagher, and Paddy Freel. It takes all of those people to develop a team through the ranks, and it takes obviously a very healthy club administration to support it all the way through. So, yeah, a lot of cogs moving to make it happen.
And, of course, the first year championship was won, what was it, last year? The year before, it was under 16, Trevor Alcorn, and, of course, Trevor in charge now again.
Yeah, Trevor came back in with that group at under 16 level, and it was just the right mix at the right time. Trevor brought his own style to it, and it seemed to gel well with that particular group and the rest of the management team. So, yeah, they seem to play a nice brand of football, very disciplined performances, and, the really exciting part about watching these guys is that, even when the chips are down, they never give in. They always seem to find a, find another level, so or another gear. So yeah, exciting team to watch, and you know Trevor certainly has done the business at under 16 level, and it's great to see him taking the reins again at minor this year, and hopefully onwards.
And of course, obviously, we saw your under 21s getting to the B final. Unfortunately, they were beaten by St Olds last weekend, but quite a few of that, all of those young players have come through that particular academy, shall we say, or that training camps and schools as well.
That's right. You know, quite a lot of the same players are certainly siblings of some of the current players. So yeah, look, it's demonstrates that the work at underage is paying off.
So looking forward now to Saturday in Belfast, I'm sure quite a big crowd travelling up.
There seems to be huge interest, and yeah, I suppose you wouldn't blame the club. It's not often we get to, and certainly hasn't been the case in the past, certainly in the men's football, getting to the Ulster platform, so it's fantastic to see it. All the club members are hugely excited, and no doubt they'll roll on behind.
As you mentioned there, unusual in the men's, the ladies have I suppose raised the bar at Ulster, and so obviously the hoping now for your men. This is the start of Termin making an impression, obviously here in Donegal, but in Ulster as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the ladies have been hugely successful over the course of the last 10 years at this stage. They're a fantastic group. They keep pushing the boundaries all the time, and certainly that generates a very positive influence around the club in general. So, you know, hats off to them for lifting the bar. You know, as we said, this is new ground for the male side of the club, moving on to Ulster at A level. And I think, you know, if they keep doing what they're doing and keep the right mix of people around the team, it'll prove very positive.
Look at Darren, time is pressing on us. Thank you for joining us, and the best of luck to Termin, and we'll be talking to Trevor Alcorn tomorrow for tomorrow night, okay?
Not at all, Tom. Absolute pleasure. Thanks very much.
Okay, Darren.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubware at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Fáilte ar ais, good evening, Clare. Come and look, Scale and the Shock on the show with me, Tom Comack, here on a Wednesday night from 7:25 to 8 o'clock. And, well, I'm delighted to see my special guests tonight are Oris Club Chairman John Friel, the Club PRO Rose Kelly, and Father Charlie Logue, who, of course, is the president of the club. John and Father Charlie are founding members of the club, which was founded 50 years ago in 1969, and the club have been running and well, have been celebrating the last 50 years, and they've even put it in book form as well. Rose Kelly, the PRO, has produced a fantastic history of the club, and colourful, plenty of pictures in it and everything, from humble beginnings to Crampsey Park. John Friel, first of all to you, the chairman and founding member of the club. Tell me, how did it come about way back in 1969?
Well, Father Charlie and Hugh Francis came together.
Not Hugh Francis.
Hugh Francis Doherty from Rockstown. They came together after Mass on a Sunday, and between the two of them, they decided they should form a club. So it was moving on from then.
And you were in there from very early?
I was on from the start. Yeah, I was on from the very beginning. From the form of our first committee.
You mustn't be long out of short trousers at that stage.
I think I was 15 at the time, Tom. 15.
And tell me about the club. You know, Father Charlie. Obviously, did you feel there was a need for a club, or?
Well, what happened? We were all going to the Cairn Tech. We were going to the school in Cairn. It was Cairn Tech, as called. It's now the Cairn Community School. And that year, I think that we won a first-year competition. Now, I wasn't the first year, so I was a year ahead of that. But they won the competition, and I think like half the team was from Oris, but Oris themselves didn't have a football team. So Rashid Francis said to me, you know, we could have a team. And what had happened is I was the goalkeeper for the early matches and Cairn, but when it came to later matches, the big matches, I was always dropped. Jim McColgan was put on. So I says, well, if we form a club, at least I might get a place in this, I get some football. So on the bus then, we just decided to have a meeting. So John Frail said his father had a barn that was free on a Tuesday night, Monday or Tuesday night. So we just gathered there, we put a poster to in a shop window and put it around by word of mouth. And we had the meeting and we just, well, good, maybe 20 or so turned up.
And it was all young fellas?
Well, a couple of girls turned up, the first three or four girls turned up.
And yeah, but they were all young men.
Everybody was under 18, there was nobody over 18, all school.
And how did you go about forming the club then?
Well, see, the year before that, the Clonmany Festival, 68, the Accredited Young Players started the Clonmany Festival, and as you know, that's going too. So it was a 10 and 60, the young people, you know, taking initiative. It was a wee bit like now with climate change, you know, the way young people take it in their own hands. Was that kind of, and we just decided to, for, you know, to appoint a secretary and a chairman and that, you know, all that just very, very... We hardly even knew what those things were, but we had the names. We put names forward, and it went from there. The only person we couldn't fill as a treasurer, because we thought we weren't capable, or maybe wouldn't be trusted with money. So John then asked his uncle James. He wasn't at the meeting, and James said he was too old a man to take on them young fellas. But John convinced him that because he was a treasurer of the St Vincent de Paul.
Yeah.
And we asked James, and James said, I remember what James's words. He said, I don't know why I'm treasurer of Anthony Paul, because there's schoolmasters and clergymen and businessmen, and I'm the thickest man among them. But he says, for some reason, they asked me to charge the money, and I'm do what I'm told.
Yeah.
So he done put his towel too when John asked him.
Yeah. So obviously, and tell me, John, you know, when did you play your first games, or how did you have obviously had to get affiliated to the county board, or how was that, or did you get advice on that, or?
Well, we got advice. There's a man from Killybegs who's teaching down in Clonmany. May rest, Dennis Callahan. Now, Dennis was our advisor, and we used to. The bus used to come out from Cairn, and we used to go up another side road up to Bocairna, and we used to get off the bus at Dennis's there, and we used to go and get the data of Dennis and on the round of a club and that, and he gave us all, and he knew all the rules as well.
Yeah.
And Dennis was a former player himself, and played with the county himself back in the early days, you know.
Yeah. And tell me, just for maybe listeners that don't know, or from outside the county, or indeed south of the county, or west of the county, where is Orris?
Orris is, Malin is as far north, up the most northerly point, so opposite, across from Malin.
To the west of it, is it?
Exactly, on the Clonmany side. Father Logue, he's stationed out in Malin Head, and he can see his own. He can look across on Torres.
Brilliant, brilliant.
So that's more or less.
And is it a big area?
It's a fair big area. We have four schools in our parish, and we draw from four schools. That's Clonmany, Ternisligo, Clunchia, and Rishini.
Yeah, and Ballyliffin is in it as well, isn't it?
Ballyliffin would be part of the Rishini area. The children would go there to Rishini and that.
Yeah.
And the coaching goes on in the schools there now at the minute, which is a great success as well.
Yeah, and in those early years, where did you play your first games? Can you remember?
Well, our earlier games were played in Leenan. Leenan was a great... I don't know if you ever out in Leenan or not, Tom, but teams that came from any part of the county, Glencolm, Keller, Kilcairn, that are there, they came over the gap.
That's Mamore
Gap, from Moncrana, right, and as soon as you got to the top of the gap, you could see the patch out there at Leenan, so right along the shore there at Leenan. And Mickey Kearney, he owned the ground there, and we had a lease of the ground of Mickey there.
Well, it wasn't hard to find a field out there because it's pretty flat land.
Well, it's all sandy ground there. It's all sandy ground. It's very hard to get the goalpost down. Because when you go to dig to put the post in, next thing the water started to gush up. So you had to be very quick getting the goalposts in. And I remember in the early days we used to have a crossbar up. We used to have a rope up. And I remember the county board warned us to. Well, they gave us more or less a slap in the hand and told us to replace it with a proper.
Was it a movable rope? It was. Any stories on that front?
Well, Father Oak was in the goal, so he might know if he ever moved it.
No, but the pitch was also. It was a soccer pitch. And the pitch goes back to the days when the British Army had a forced and leaning, and then that was the pitch, you know. So it was very much a traditional football pitch, but you know,
no,
it was used there for soccer maybe for over 100 years, and then you know, Mickey actually gave it lost. But the Irish soccer pit was playing there before, you know.
And tell me, Father Charlie, where did young fellas that were in, say, Oris and out that area play their Gaelic football before the formation of the club?
You see, that's another part of the history. Is there was a club in Clonmany. See, Clonmany is the parish. Oris is only a part of Clonmany. And there was a full team in it. But it had fallen through. And so when we gathered together, we were on an Oris bus. There was an Oris bus and a Clonmany bus. So the club started on the Oris bus. And I remember when we gathered together that first night, or the night we decided the name of the club, I actually wanted the club to be called Clonmany Club. But I remember Pat Kerr says, no, you know, we'll have more loyalty if we call it Oris Club, you know.
Right.
So in fact, the club really should be called Clonmany Club now, because it includes the whole parish now. But at that time, it really only included the half of the parish. Really,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It really should be called. And I would be agreeing with it. Maybe. Well, I'm not saying, but you know, it's really the Clonmany Club right now, because it includes the whole parish. And the pitch is also, the pitch that time was in Oris. The pitch is now not even in Oris. The pitch is in just outside the village of Clonmany, you know.
That's the voice of Charlie Logue. He's one of my special guests here in studio tonight, along with Rose Kelly, PRO of the Oris Club, and John Friel, who of course is the chairman and well known throughout the county and the province, and indeed all over Ireland, as an Oris GA man and a great Donegal supporter. And well, we're looking back on 50 years history of the Oris Club, and well, they've celebrated quite a bit of that over the last year. And as I mentioned already, Rose Kelly will be coming to Rose shortly. She has, well, a labour of love, she told me at a presentation function on the night, from humble beginnings to Crampsey Park. I think that was the cue from there for Father Logue. But first, we have to go for another short break.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubware at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Fáilte Ash, Cuchín, Clara, Aníha Shaw, my special guest in studio tonight, her John Friel, chairman of the Oris Club, Father Charlie Logue, who is president of the club, and as we heard there, one of the founding fathers, and Rose Kelly is the club PRO. Rose, coming to you first of all, Rose, tell me, what's your earliest memories of the club?
I rejoined the club in 93, but before that I would always went to the games, and over in Leinion, you would have headed out on a Sunday to the games in Leinion and headed away in the bus and for the crack to support the team.
You were on the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously there was success came fairly early, as we found out in the book, didn't it?
The first junior was 79.
Yeah.
And they won the intermediate 82, and the following next year, 89, they won a junior as well. So there was a lot of success in the early years, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of work gone into this from Crampsey Park, or from humble beginnings to Crampsey Park. And I know to the labour of love, and I know you had a lot of research to do, and a lot of colour, a lot of photographs. I see a few photographs of deceased members as well here as well. So a lot of work went into that.
A lot of work indeed. It took about 18 months, over 18 months, but it was most enjoyable. A lot of research. John had initially mentioned it at the AGM in 17, so I started in March 18, and there was a book done in 98, and I had thought all the stuff was there, but the stuff wasn't to be found, so I just really had to start all the research from It just stays in the library and the local papers.
Yeah, and tell me, did you find out anything that you didn't know?
Well, there's plenty of stories.
Are they all in the book?
No, they're not all in the book. They're all in the tip. Beginning of this year, we decided then we'd meetings in the clubhouse with the first committee and players in the first team. And there's plenty of stories and yarns told there. Some of them are in the book, and it has added to the book as well.
Yeah. And John Friel, it took, 10 years for the first success at adult level. In the early years, was it just adult with maybe an under-12 team, or had you many underage teams? Or?
Well, no, exactly. We didn't have no underage team in the very, very beginning. No, we didn't. Our first team was senior, was all adults, and they're from all over in the show, more or less. And we're in the all county at that stage, and we used to do a lot of travelling and getting a team to travel. We're picking up men at the border and Garda stations to make out a team back in the very, very early days now. And but we kept going anyway.
You see, from all over the show. Were the other clubs not in operation at that stage?
Other clubs were not in operation, no, not back at that stage.
You're talking Mallon, Buncrana?
No, them
or
teams.
Or Carndonagh?
No, they came in later. They might have been going a bit at underage, all right. Because as Father Charlie said earlier, they were underage going. Because I played myself back at under Dennis Callan and Owen Carr, back at under 12, under 13, under 14, that.
Yeah, and was that at school? Was it?
That wasn't a school. We were just finishing national school, and Owen Carr, as I say, and Dennis was running the teams at underage that time.
And what game did you play at national school, John?
At national school now was more soccer. We played, it was mostly all ground. It's all soccer mostly. As Father Oak says, the pitch out at Leaning as well was catered for soccer. So and I remember our county manager, Declan Bonner, playing for KJO back at Leaning back in the early days.
Brilliant. And tell me, so there was no great tradition in Oros for Gaelic?
There wouldn't have been. I know there was a team back earlier on, Charlie said, with the fort and that. There was a number of players there. Clamanagh had a team, and looking at the book there, Clamanagh and Orlis had two separate teams there, and they used to play. And the recall there where there was a game played up at Quigley's Point, and there were five loads of supporters, and that went along to matches there, and that's way before our time, you know. So it was there in the beginning, you know.
Yeah, and talk to me about that first junior championship team. Who was on it? You were on it yourself, were you?
I was on the junior team. That was great for us that time. All right, as we played Gador in that final, we had a fairly strong team now.
And that was probably Gador's first team at the time, was it?
I don't think it was now. No, it wouldn't have been their first team now. No,
I think it was actually. I think they had dropped down. Actually, they had gone through a bad period and had dropped down. Father Charlie, I think you're given.
No, it was. It was Gador's first team. Yeah, that's right. But that was a very good team, because in 82 there was the same team who played Red Hughes in 82 that won the intermediate.
Yeah,
and then Red Hughes, and a few years later, I think in 86 they were in the senior final, if I recall right. You know, it was a very good team that. But emigration kind of took some of them away, or went to Dublin and you know, and joined the Guards. And so, you know, we lost some of that team because I wasn't on that team, you know, but I thought it was a very good team.
Who would have been on that team?
Like Danny Kelly and Pat Carr and Paddy O'Donnell and Michael.
That's back in the very early days.
Rose, who else was on it? You found in the book. Who else?
Michael Freeland would have been on it. And Desi Kemi would be on it.
And Dan Noel.
Dan Noel.
And the Kemis, wasn't Mickey Grant and Desi Kemi, wasn't that?
And Mickey Grant and Kemi, then were
that. That was the 69 team, was it? Or the 82? No,
the 69 team was really a minor team. We were all minors, so the 69 team was really a minor team.
Yeah.
The first really thing we played is there was an Shown competition, a minor competition, Moville and Mallon and Buncrana and Burton Lynch, they all had minor teams. So the very first team was our first team was a minor team because we were all under 18.
Yeah.
And we got the very first year, which was 1970, we got to the Ony Shone final, the Ony Shone minor final. But yeah. Morgana kind of hammered us, but we got a bus that day and to Cairn, and it was a big day out for all of us. But brilliant. James Fried had a cow calf in, so James couldn't come, and we kind of didn't have a... I don't think we had a manager. We didn't have a manager. I think we just managed ourselves, if I remember right.
Yeah, oh, well, gee, and your variety here. So it's been a great journey. Look, at the clock is ticking, believe it or not, as time has flown on us here. John, obviously big development in recent years since you moved to Cramsey Park.
That's right, Tom, that's right. Moving to Cramsey Park and then and building the dressing rooms and all there. As moving forward, and we were hoping in the very short time again as well to hopefully expand our pitch there at Cramsey Park. So if we get that to happen, then that'll be an even better success. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So we just need that. We need that. We had more ground there, you know.
And Rose, just one last plug. Where can we find a copy of the book?
The book's on sale in Urrahs and all the shops in Clonmany, and it's in Buncrana, Cairn and Mallon. And if anybody else needs a copy, they just can contact any committee member.
Yeah, and obviously available from the club as well, I'm sure.
From the club or from just the Facebook page as well.
Well, look at folks, unfortunately, we could have talked for a much longer. That time flew. I know Rose was worried when she spoke to me earlier today, but unfortunately, the clock is catching up on us. It's almost 8 o'clock. And until next week, Slán Agus Beannacht. Thanks to my guests tonight, Rose Kelly, John Freel, and Father Charlie Logue. It was lovely to have them. We also spoke to Darren Gibson, the chairman of the Termon Miners, who, of course, are playing in the Ulster Championship on Saturday against Silverbridge at 3 o'clock in Belfast. From me, Tom Comick, Sláinte agus Fáilte agus Sláinte, good evening, Seachtain Seoghain.